إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد, it's always a pleasure to welcome all of you to our classes here at Masjid al-Tawheed. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us this religion, to grant us beneficial knowledge and righteous actions, and to grant us ikhlas in everything we say and everything we do. Ameen. As I see, you have the books of the seerah, but I choose tonight actually to talk about another topic, inshallah ta'ala, a topic that we should talk about, especially it is approaching us. And so therefore we're going to talk today, tonight, inshallah ta'ala, only for tonight, about a story of Musa alayhi salam. The story of Musa alayhi salam and the fasting of Yawm Ashura. Because we are in the month of Muharram. We are in the month of Muharram, the first month of the calendar, the Hijri calendar. And in the 10th of Muharram, that's when Ashura is, the 10th. Today is the 7th. So in a couple of days, it will be the 10th. So he wants to remind you, inshallah ta'ala, about the virtue of this day, because fasting it is very important. Okay? I hope you don't mind, right? And it's very important, as Allah tells us, and remind them, for verily the reminder benefit the believers. So, alhamdulillah, our classes continue. But inshallah ta'ala, as you know, this is a habit that even the ulama, our senior scholars, the ulama, they be explaining books, but then when occasion approach, they will put a hold onto that class and give the people what they need at that moment. Because we're not going to talk about the story of Musa and fasting of Ashura next Sunday or Monday. No, because it's going to be after the fact. Now, alhamdulillah, today is the 7th, because Ashura means the Ashara, the 10th. So alhamdulillah, we still have a couple of days to prepare ourselves. Of course, we're going to read to you, it was a khutbah, actually, given by our beloved Sheikh, Dr. Saleh Al-Fawzan, حفظه الله تعالى, from his book الخطب المنبرية. We have 6 volumes, at least that's what I have, that compile and gather his khutbas, sheikhs, حفظه الله. And this is like been years ago, so maybe now I don't know how many volumes it is. Okay, they're very beneficial, والحمد لله. So this is pertaining to the story of one of the messengers of Allah, one of Ulul Azm, the great messengers, Musa alayhi salam, and the fasting of Ashura. But the Shaykh, he began by saying that indeed we should know that in the stories of the Anbiya and the Mursaleen, in the stories of the prophets and the messengers, is a lesson لِأُولِ الْأَلْبَابِ, for those who pay ahead and those who reflect, those who pay attention. When they read the Qur'an, they find that there is stories in the Qur'an. Allah tells us stories about the prophets, the messengers, and what had happened to them with their people. And there is great lessons that we learn from those stories. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Yusuf, verse 111, مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا يُفْتَرَى وَلَكِنْ تَصْدِيقَ الَّذِي بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وتفصيل كل شيء وهدى ورحمة لقوم يؤمنون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, in their stories, meaning the stories of the prophets and the messengers with their people, indeed in their stories, there is a lesson for men of understanding. The Quran is not a forced statement, but a confirmation of Allah's existing books, which were before it, the Torah, the Injil, and other scriptures of Allah, and a detailed explanation of everything, and a guide and a mercy for a people who believe. The Sheikh says, and from the greatest stories of the messengers, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us about, the story of Musa, Kalimu Allah, the man that Allah spoke to him directly. That's why I say Kalimullah. Allah spoke to Musa. Wa kallama Allahu Musa taklima. Allah spoke to Musa, alayhi salam. Musa ibn Imran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned his story in many places in the Quran. This is a famous story, the story of Musa, alayhi salam. Many surahs, Allah talks about the stories of Musa. وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى. Many chapters of the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about the story of Musa alayhi salam. Sometimes you find in the places in the Quran there is more details, and in another chapters in general it is mentioned in general, but in other chapters, there is you find many details about the story of Musa alayhi as-salam. Now the Sheikh is bringing a brief, not the whole story in details, but a brief summary of the story of Musa alayhi as-salam and that which took place between him and between Fir'aun, the Pharaoh, who was a tyrant at that time. The Sheikh says this story is about Fir'aun. This Fir'aun is ala fil ard. He was a tyrant, an arrogant. And he divided the people onto sects. And he used to ridicule and oppress and belittle some groups. From them is the sect of Bani Israel. He used to treat them in a very bad way. Bani Israel, who they descend from Nabiullah Yaqub Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Khalilullah Ibrahim, alayhim as-salatu wassalam. Bani Israel, they are the descendants at that time, in the time of Musa, alayhi salam. Those Banu Israel, they are the descendant of Yaqub, alayhi salam. Nabi Allah, a prophet of Allah. Yaqub. Sit up, please. Nabi Allah, Yaqub, alayhi As-salam, who himself, he is a son of another prophet, Ishaq, alayhi salam, who himself, the son of another prophet, Khalilullah, Ibrahim, alayhi salam. And they were the best of the people at that time. Banu Israel, even though they were oppressed by the Fir'aun, belittle, but they were the best of the people on earth. But this oppressor, this tyrant, this disbeliever, ruler, which is Fir'aun, istasallata alayhim wa sta'badahum. He treat them in a way that he made them slaves to him. And they used to do the worst of jobs for him. They were oppressed. But then he was informed. The Pharaoh, Pharaon, was informed that from the progeny of Ibrahim and from Bani Israel will raise a boy, a young man, that the destruction of the Pharaoh will be at the hands of this man, by Allah's will, by Allah's leave. At that time, the Pharaoh Pharaon, he issued an order that every young boy, every newborn boy, male boy from Bani Israel is to be killed. Al-Iyadu Billah. So he said this to take his precautions that no boy will grow up and then go against him and fight him and the like. So he says, look, the only way I'm going to be safe, as he thought he's going to be safe, he says, let's kill every newborn boy, all boys. From now on, every boy that is born to Bani Israel is to be killed. As soon as he's born, kill him. That's what the Pharaoh says. وَلَنْ يُغْنِي حَذَرٌ مِّنْ قَدَرٍ. Okay? So now the Pharaoh, he's taking his precautions. But taking precautions really push away the qadr or change the qadr of Allah? No, it does not. So the Pharaoh, he's taking his precautions when he was told, look, there is a young man, he's gonna come from Bani Israel. And you're going to be destroyed in his time. So the Pharaoh says, look, I'm going to kill every one of them. So no man will grow. No boy, no newborn boy will grow and be a young man. I'm going to kill every one of them. He says, this way I don't have to worry about anything. Taking precautions. Be cautious. But لا يغني, as there is a statement, he said, لا يغني حذر من قدر. Taking precautions doesn't change the qadr of Allah. Whatever Allah wills to happen, it will happen. Even the people, they take every measure to escape it. مَا كَانَ لِيُصِيبُكْ لَنْ يُخْتِئَكْ. If something is about to fail someone, you will never miss him. Can't miss. Because this is the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Pharaoh, he was very serious about this. That no young man should arise from these tribes of Bani Israel. Make sure that every born boy is killed. That's the Pharaoh. Orders. So he assigned many men. And assigned with them midwives. Who they know the pregnancy. You know midwives, right? Qawabil. Midwives is those women who they know about the pregnancy and they help the women deliver the babies. So he appointed many men with midwives and they circulate and run and go by the villages, the towns, and every house. Whenever they heard that a woman is pregnant, they go there and they know how far she's in a pregnancy. They will know when is the time for her to give birth. So they will go to her when she gives birth to the baby. Take that baby and kill him. Wal-iyadu billah. So whenever a woman at that time gives birth to a baby boy, they kill him. So, the qadr of Allah is that Musa was born at that time, when boys are killed. and he's a boy. His mother, she was afraid. She don't know what to do. He's a boy now. Sooner or later, they will know about him. People see him. Babies cry. Somebody gonna know. So she was concerned, very concerned. A mother, she don't want to lose her baby. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired to her that to put him in a sandok, in a cradle, that's what it is, they say?
Basket.
Or a basket, or a box, okay, or a basket, okay, your choice. To put him in that safe basket or box, and her house was near the Nile. You know the Nile? Mm-hmm. Nahr al-Nil. What is Nahr al-Nil? Nile. The Nile River. You know what it is? You. Yes. The Nile River.
Germany.
No, not the Rhone. You're right. The Rhone is in Germany. He knows. The Nile. Nahr al-Nil. Mahmoud. Laqantahu. Egypt. Naam. Is the long, they say what? The longest river on earth. Nahr al-Nil. Khair. It's in Egypt. So her house was next to the Nile River. So she put Musa alayhi salam, a baby, in that basket, and she put him in the river. She put him in the river. Put her trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, put him in the river. And the water carried the baby, that basket that contains the baby, a prophet and a messenger of Allah. He want to grow to become one of the prophets of Allah and the messengers of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. So the water keep taking him until it passes by the house of Fir'aun. Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Qasas, another chapter, surah, that tells us the stories of Fir'aun, Musa, alayhi salam, with Fir'aun and the like. قَالْ فَالْتَقَطَهُ أَلُ فِرْعَوْنُ. Then the household of the Pharaoh picked him up. They picked him up. And when they opened that basket or that box, they find this young boy, this baby. Remember at that time, babies are to be killed. Now here is this basket has what?
A baby born.
But look, now the Pharaoh wife, she's the one that saw the baby. And as soon as her eyes lay on the baby, she loved him very much. Allah put the love of that baby in her heart. She loved that baby. So when the Pharaoh came and they told him, oh, we found a baby, she requested and she asked him to spare this baby and not to kill him. And she defended that baby boy. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وقالت امرأة فرعون قرة عين لي ولك لا تقتلوه عسى أن ينفعنا أو نتخذه ولدا وهم لا يشعرون. And the wife of Fir'aun, the Pharaoh, said, a comfort of the eye, this baby, a comfort of the eye for me and for you. Don't kill him. Perhaps he may be of benefit to us, or we may adopt him as a son. And they perceived not the result of that was going to come. Allah. So when her says a comfort of the eye, Allah made it true for her, not for the follower. Because, alhamdulillah, she became a believer. The wife of the Pharaoh, she benefited from her raising Musa alayhi salam, and she benefited from his risala, his message that Allah sent him with, and she was a believer, and Allah guided her. Allah guided her, alhamdulillah, to Islam and to follow the message of Musa alayhi salam, and she entered the Jannah. And we read her story too in the Quran. قالت ربي ابني لي عندك بيتا في الجنة سبحان الله الله أكبر. So now here is this boy who's from Bani Israel. This boy is supposed to be killed. Not only that he escaped the army of Fir'aun, now he's where? In the house of Fir'aun. Allahu Akbar. He's in the house of the Pharaoh. Now this boy, now, you know, baby boys, they eat what? Milk. From their mothers. Now they want to feed him, they bring women. Because this boy, his mother wasn't with him in the basket. So he's by himself, crying, hungry. Now they bring women that are there to feed him. He refused. He refused to be breastfed by them. He don't. A baby. He's not saying, I don't want you, because babies don't talk. But he refused. He just refused to any woman. They tried any ways possible. Whenever they brought him a woman that have milk in her breast, he refused to take the breast. He refused. This baby boy. Because Allah says, وَحَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَرَادِعَ مِنْ قَبْلِ Ayah 12. And we had already forbidden other foster suckling mothers for him. SubhanAllah. Allahu Akbar. Hikmah, for a hikmah. So they sent amongst the people to say in the tribes and the villages and the surrounding areas, any woman that have any milk or something, please come forward. Now they're looking, they're desperately looking for a woman that this young boy will accept her milk. فَرَأَتْهُ أُخْتُهُ So they take this baby, they said, look, take this baby, go around the tribes, the villages, the nearby towns, and see if he can accept any woman. Until his sister saw him. They didn't know that she's the sister of Musa alayhi salam. So she said to them, هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَيْتٍ يَكْفُرُونَهُ لَكُمْ وَهُمْ لَهُ نَاصِحُونَ She said, so his sister came up and said, shall I direct you to a household who will rear him for you and look after him in a good manner? Allahu Akbar. So they were very happy. And they said, yes, let's go. So they went with her to his mother's house. And as soon as the mother took him, he felt at ease and he began to eat. She was suckling him. And this is by Allah's qadr and inayah of Allah. Allah taking good care of this baby. That's why Allah, as related to this, Allah tells us in Surah Al-Qasas, in Ayah 13, فَرَدَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ كَيْ تَقَرَّ عَيْنُهَا وَلَا تَحْزَنُ وَلِتَعْلَمَ أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ So did we restore him, meaning Musa alayhi salam, to his mother, that her eye might be comforted, and that she might not grieve, and that she might know that the promise of Allah is true, but most of them, they don't know. You just have to be patient. If Allah takes something from you, Allah will bring it back. Put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So alhamdulillah, when Musa grew up, he became a young man. He was a distinguished young man. And he was very respected and feared in the same time. Why? Because he grows where? In the house of Fir'aun. They know this is Fir'aun's son, you know, adopted son. So he's feared. In our terms, nobody mess with him. Can't mess with the son of the Pharaoh. Alright? Somebody do anything, get in big trouble. So the Sheikh, he says he grew up and in the house of Fir'aun, he used to ride in the rides of the Fir'aun. Alright? Fancy. He used to wear fancy clothing. Okay? Expensive clothing. And one of the days, he enters the city. في حين غفلة من أهلها. He entered the city at a time of unawareness of its people. Okay? And he found there two men fighting. As Allah tells us in Ayah 15 in Surah Al-Qasas, one of his party, meaning his religion from the children of Israel, and the other of his foes. فاستغاثه الذي من شيعته على الذي من عدوه فوكزه موسى فقضى عليه. The man of his own party asked him for help against his foe. So Musa struck him with his fist and killed him. He was strong. وندم موسى على ذلك. Musa, he regret striking that man, and therefore he died. And he said, قال هذا من عمل الشيطان إنه عدو مضل مبين. He says, this is of Shaitan's doing an action. Verily, he is a plain misleading enemy. قال ربي إني ظلمت نفسي فاغفر لي فغفر له إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. Then he said, my Lord, verily I have wronged myself, so forgive me. Then he forgave him. Verily he is the all-forgiving, the most merciful. And then Musa, he fled the place because they were gathering to get him and to kill him. He fled. Towards this place called Midian. And he got there, and the story of two girls that they were trying to get water to their flock. Anyway, he got married and he remained 10 years. As a shepherd. Okay, because that was the agreement he has with the father of his wife. And then he took his wife and went back to Egypt, proceeding towards Egypt. And while on his way back to Egypt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored him with the risala, and with the message, and he revealed to him and spoke to him directly. Allah spoke to Musa alayhi salam and sent him to Fir'aun. with clear proofs. With clear proofs. طيب Allah sent him to Fir'aun, who was arrogant, and make himself as the Lord of the people. He said to them, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. I am the Lord, the Most High. Fir'aun. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. So he called him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fir'aun, Musa, said to him, rather you're supposed to worship Allah, the Lord of Al-Alameen. But Musa said to Fir'aun, Musa, when he said to Fir'aun, you should worship Allah, you're not a god. You're not God. You're not Ilah. You should worship Allah. Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of the worlds. What Fir'aun said to Musa, وَمَا رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And who is this رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ you're talking about? Who's رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ? Musa alayhi salam, he answered him, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Dukhan, chapter 44. In the ayah number 7, he said to him, when he said to him, وَمَا رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ قَالَ رَبِّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِن كُنْتُم مُوقِنِينَ. He said to him, the Lord of the heavens and the earth and all that is between them, if you but have a faith with certainty. Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan says, because in the creation of the heavens and the earth and what's between them, there is many clear signs that make a person to believe with certainty that Allah, who created all of these things, He alone deserves to be worshipped. But Fir'aun said to the people around him in a way of mocking the message of Musa alayhi salam, أَلَا تَسْمَعُونَ. Don't you hear what this man is talking about? فَذَكَّرَهُ مُوسَى بِأَصْلِهِ. Musa alayhi salam remind Fir'aun that he was created. That he was born. And he was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, Allah has created Adam alayhi salam. And that he was created from him, his wife, and from them create many people. That themselves give birth to people who gave birth and they died. And they gave birth to others who grow up and give birth to others and die. He reminded him of all of this. And this is the Rabb of all of them. Of you is your Lord, the Lord of your forefathers and their forefathers. Back to Adam alayhi salam. That's why he tells them in Surah Al-Shu'ara, رَبُّكُمْ وَرَبُّ أَبَائِكُمُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. He is your Lord and the Lord of your forefathers. At that time, Fir'aun couldn't say nothing. He was defeated. Now, what's going to get him out of this? He says, this man is Majnoon. Musa is Majnoon. He's crazy. Why? So that the people don't pay attention to what's a Majnoon. Do the people take in consideration what a crazy person say? Whatever that person say, they say, this is a Majnoon. People don't take from a crazy person. So because Musa, when he was defeated, he couldn't follow up. He couldn't keep up with Musa alayhi salam. He says, look, he's Majnoon. So that the people cannot listen to him. So when Musa couldn't find any response to what, when Fir'aun actually couldn't find no response to what Musa alayhi salam was bringing him from the Haqq, and he was unable to refute the truth, لَجَأَ إِلَى الْإِرْهَابِ. Now he's using terrorism now. He's terror. Says Muhammad, terrorism is way, started way back. He's like, look, the only way, I can't talk to this man. I can't refute him. Okay, so he turns to terror. We're going to do something to him and to his people if we can. That's why he said to him, he threatened Musa with jail. And he said to him, as in Surah Al-Shu'ara, لَإِنِ اتَّخَدْتَ إِلَهًا غَيْرِ لَأَجْعَلَنَّكَ مِنَ الْمَسْجُونِينَ. If you took another god beside me, if you worship another god beside me, I will put you in jail. So Fir'aun, he didn't have no proof to encounter what Musa alayhi salam was calling him, except by threatening him. And that's exactly what the people of Bid'ah and innovations, when they cannot, and they will never be able to proceed to provide proofs against the truth. SubhanAllah, what are they going to give? Because if they have proof, that's the truth. Right or wrong? You think a mubtadi' will have a proof to turn down the sunnah? This is a contradiction. He is a mubtadi' because he has no proof from the sunnah. So how are he going to have proof from the sunnah to support his innovation? So since Fir'aun was unable to provide anything, so now he's like, man, I gotta fight this guy. So he was threatening him. Anyway, we're gonna summarize. The Sheikh summarized the story, we're gonna summarize it too, because we have to finish it, especially now it's time for the Adhan, and we have to get to the other part of it, which is reminding you of the Ashura and the fasting of Ashura. We will do that inshallah ta'ala after the Adhan inshallah is completed. So Musa alayhi salam called Fir'aun and his people to Islam. They should all worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bring them many ayats. Allah sent him with many clear proofs. They belied in every single one of them. Allah sent upon them calamities, and they always turned to Musa, call your Lord. If he save us from this, we will send the people of Israel, Bani Israel, with you, safe. But then they always betray the promise. Betray the promise. So when they continue upon their disbelief and their oppression, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Musa alayhi salam to make a hijrah, to leave the land of Egypt with the Muslims. Take the Muslims and leave the land of Egypt by night. So he followed the command of Allah, and Musa alayhi salam and the believers, the Muslims, they left towards Bilad al-Sham. Okay, they live in Egypt, so you know there is the Nile, and from Egypt there is the sea, the Red Sea, that separates Egypt from the Sham, and also from Saudi Arabia now. And the Sham is like when there is Jordan, Palestine, Lebanon, and Syria now. So as they were going, when Fir'aun knew about their departure, he was very angry, and he gathered his army, and he followed them, went after them. So they caught up with them by sunrise, close to the sea. And they see both parties see each other. That's why in Surah Al-Shu'ara, which is the chapter 26, in the verse 61, قال أصحاب موسى إنا لمدركون. So they see each other now. People of Musa, they're not equipped. They don't have an army with them. Here is a a strong army behind them. They see them, catching up with them. So the people of Musa, what they say to him, إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ. And when the two hosts saw each other, the companions of Musa said, we are sure to be overtaken. Musa, firm upon belief, he said, كَلَّا إِنَّ مَعِيَ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. Nay, verily with me is my Lord, he will guide me. Allahu Akbar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revealed to Musa, and idrabbi asaka al-hajar. Then we revealed to Musa, alayhi salam, strike the sea with your stick. And it parted, and its separate parts of that sea water became like a huge mountain by Allah's leave, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Musa alayhi salam proceed to the sea, and he did what Allah commanded him to do. And it was 12 paths, dry, no mud, nothing in it. Allahu Akbar, dry paths. And there is water between them, subhanAllah, by Allah's leave, like mountains. So they were very happy, and they took this path, and Fir'aun followed them into this path as well. So when Musa alayhi salam and the Muslims, every last one of them, make it to the other side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the Fir'aun and his party to drown. They drown. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command that sea to return to its natural state. And Fir'aun and his army, they were destroyed. The Shaykh says, indeed we have to reflect and ponder upon this great story of Musa alayhi salam. There's a lot of lessons in it. From the great lessons is that the truth was prevailed over falsehood. Even though that the falsehood may exist for a while, but always the truth will prevail. And the falsehood will be vanished and destroyed. So you, doesn't matter, we learn from this lesson, doesn't matter what hardship you go through. Then inshallah, if you're firm upon iman and turn your affairs to Allah, and continue to do what's pleasing to Allah, Allah will destroy your opponents. As we have an ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah defend the believers. Those who believe, Allah defend them. And if Allah defend you, so what do you think? You're going to defend yourself better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And this victory took place on Yawm Ashura, meaning the 10th of Shahr al-Muharram, this month, Muharram. And that's why we bring in this story and how the fasting of the 10th of Muharram came about. Rawa al-Imam al-Bukhari fi sahihihi. Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahu ta'ala, narrated in his sahih on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, قال قدم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المدينة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came when he came to Medina. واليهود تصوم يوم عاشوراء. He find that the Jews, they fast in this day, the 10th of Muharram. Today is the 7th. Okay, the 10th of Muharram, the Jews, they used to fast this day. قال ما هذا اليوم الذي تصومونه. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he asked them, he says, why, what is this day that you guys are fasting? قالوا هذا يوم ظهر فيه موسى على فرعون. They says, this is a day when Musa was victorious over Fir'aun. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأصحابه أنتم أحق بموسى منهم فصوموا. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to his companions, you have more right to Musa than the Jews. Fast this day. Allah. You have more right to Musa than them. Fast. Then the Shaykh, he says, فَيُسْتَحَبُّ يَا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ سِيَامُ هَذَا الْيَوْمِ شُكْرَ لِلَّهِ. So it is recommended, it is not wajib, it is recommended, O you servant of Allah, to fast this day, giving thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not the thanksgiving. Giving thanks to Allah. Alright? Giving thanks to Allah by fasting in this day. فَقَدْ سَامَهُ كَلِمُ اللَّهِ مُوسَى شُكْرًا لِلَّهِ. Because Musa alayhi salam, he fasted this day, giving thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَصَامَهُ نَبِيُّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَأَمَرَ بِسِيَامِهِ. Our beloved Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he fasted this day and command companions to fast it. وَقَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ أَحْتَسِبُ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَنْ يُكَفِّرَ السَّنَةَ الَّتِي قَبْلَهُ. And look at the reward of fasting this day. He says that it will expiate, inshallah, the year that came before it. Expiation of the year that came before it. The Shaykh says, وَيَنْبَغِي لِلْمُسْلِمِ أَنْ يَصُومَ الْيَوْمَ الَّذِي قَبْلَهُ لِتَحْصُلَ مُخَالَفَةِ الْيَهُودِ بِذَلِكِ. And also, another etiquette as pertaining to this, is that the Muslim fast the day before it, meaning the ninth, تَسُعَى, they call it تَسُعَى in Arabic. To fast the ninth so that you can oppose the Jews. The Jews, they fast the 10th. We don't do like them. We oppose them. We fast the 9th and the 10th with it. فَقَدْ قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ لَا إِنْ بَقَيْتُ إِلَىٰ قَابِلْ لَأَسُمَنَ التَّاسِعِ. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he says, if I leave until the next day, I will fast the 9th. فَصُومُ الْيَوْمَ التَّاسِعِ وَالْعَاشِرِ أَوِ الْعَاشِرِ وَالْحَادِي عَشَرِ. So therefore, fast the 9th with the 10th, or the 11th with the 10th. So he fasts the 9th and the 10th, or the 10th and the 11th. So inshallah ta'ala, it is not obligatory to fast, but it is great reward, barakallahu fikum. And we're in dire need to follow this ni'am of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these easy ways. And especially we are no strangers to fasting. It's not like somebody tell you, dive from a plane to get this reward. No, it's fasting. You fast 30 days. Now this is 2 days. If you fasted 30 days, a couple months ago, well, 2 days will be easy or not. It's very easy. So inshallah, let us encourage one another, inshallah, and remind one another so that we can get this great reward, inshallah ta'ala. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.